Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have a voter out here. Sir, you were watching, so you're going to be on television now. Can you tell us who you voted for?
Donald John Trump.
You voted for Donald John Trump?
Yeah.
Look at that. Bernie Sanders is not appealing to you?
The whole ideology would be destructive to the country. It's anti-growth. It's anti-family. It's anti-American. And as a Roman Catholic, it's anti-life.
So MSNBC is covering the New Hampshire primary. And you hear her say, you're watching us, so now you're on TV. I mean, I guess that's how it works. It's not how I learned when I was in journalism school. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that was the answer that they were expecting, but it kind of made me laugh.
Mm-hmm. And they were all tee-heeing when she came up to him and she's like, you were watching me, so I'm coming up to you. They're like, mm-hmm. hee-hee-hee. And then he's like, I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Donald John Trump or Donald J. Trump. I'm going to get Tyrus's opinion on this here.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus is a Fox News contributor, also Fox Nation host of Nuff Said. You should stream his show by subscribing at foxnation.com. Tyrus, thanks for coming on with us today.
Always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Now, I'm watching that MSNBC reporter yank somebody who just voted onto the TV screen, and they all seemed shocked when he said that he was voting for Donald Trump. I think that the disparity that exists on the political spectrum between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders is just absolutely a massive one. And yet there's still this populist thread that seems to connect the two. Bernie Sanders wins New Hampshire, does pretty well in Iowa. Do you think that he is capable of getting this nomination from the Democratic Party?
I think he probably will, quite honestly. I think that he's in the best position as far as where the Democratic Party is at. It's really two parties, and one party is split. Whether it's going to be Buttigieg or Biden or Warren. I know they always sometimes they try to put Warren with Sanders, but they're really two different animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's got the most put-together base. The problem is, and the reason why that is so telling, what you were talking about, I mean, it's funny, but it's telling, is the voter turnout for President Trump in New Hampshire broke records.
Yeah.
So the energized base is President Trump, is the Republican base is energized. One, because of the impeachment. What the Democrats, I don't think, counted on was, in my opinion, in the impeachment trial, all they did was tarnish Joe Biden's name to where no voter is willing to, at least so far in the primaries, to support him because they're thinking, okay, we support him, and then he starts running it, and there's an FBI investigation into his son, and it's the server all over again.
Yeah.
So the whole point of the impeachment, it was really ended up being the impeachment of Joe Biden,
yeah,
who was the front runner by far going into this, and now he'll probably be considering South Carolina. I don't think it's going to be as good for him as he thinks it is, or they're hoping it is. I think we're going to start seeing it end up coming down to a three-horse race with Buttigieg, Warren, and Sanders. And honestly, I think Sanders runs away with it. And then you get into the general, and he'll maybe win. It'll be a landslide because Trump is more to the center than Bernie Sanders is by far. So if you're an independent or a moderate, you're going to go like, you know what? I don't like his tweets, but he's not fleecing the country for free stuff.
I think it's interesting, too, to think about the lack of support that Sanders might get in the general that I don't know that it – I think some people will translate over to voting for Trump, but I think there are going to be a lot of people who just can't stomach the vote for Bernie Sanders, but they also won't be able to be, you know, compelled into voting for Trump. I know a lot of people felt that way about Donald Trump in 2016. They did not want to vote for Hillary Clinton. They just didn't vote for Trump at all, and that extra support for Hillary Clinton was needed, and it wasn't there.
And the difference is this time is that, and listen, if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the, if he doesn't get the bid, if he doesn't get the nomination, his voters will go home, just like they did on with Hillary. Because there is no similarities between Buttigieg and Biden and Sanders. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really two different parties. He needs to be a Democratic Socialist Party, and they need to be a Democrat Party. There is really two different parties if you think about it.
Yeah, where it's very segmented.
Where the Republicans, even the primaries are more Republicans, it's all or nothing. You either win or you don't. When you win, you get all the delegates. Democrats spread it out and they do that in a way so the DNC can kind of control or have an opportunity if they don't like the candidate, basically. And it's kind of what happened with Hillary and Bernie last time, where they pulled delegates to give Hillary the final win, and which soured the Bernie people, and they went home. And I think it's kind of the same thing. If Bernie doesn't get it, no one else is going to carry the day. And it's, I just think Biden was their best shot, I believe, because he was – but he's – it's over. It's a wrap.
Completely not compelling either. He hasn't done anything to help his case. We're speaking with Tyrus here, Fox Nation host of Nuff Said. You can also see him on Fox News as a contributor there. I want to ask you, kind of shift gears here, and it was suggested that I ask you. We were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show, and it was suggested that I ask you about this. There's a tweet from Matt Walsh, and that's neither here nor there, but I'm just quoting it. He says, "My son told me that a kid was teasing him by rhyming his name in insulting ways. I asked him the other kid's name and gave him some ideas for rhymes he can use against him. My wife does not agree with my parenting strategy, but I feel that name rhyming in self-defense is ethical." He then goes on to say that we need to teach our kids to stand up for themselves, even if that means throwing an insult back in a bully's face. And you've been an educator. You, I don't know that you get bullied too much right now, but this doesn't mean you never were bullied.
I did as a kid, though, but I always fought back. And I think the thing is, like, the thing about fighting back is you're not an easy out. So the bully moves on because he'd rather have you not fight back. He'd rather not run the risk of getting embarrassed or clowned back. So I do encourage it.
Do you think the way that
you gotta fight back?
Do you think culture and even kind of the PC way that we have moved our culture has that we've taught our kids to just take it, which
to be shocked and a victim
counterintuitive to what
the bully. If you curl up in a ball and lay on the ground and the bully's kicking you, the next time he sees you and you curl up in a ball, guess what? He's going to kick you again. But if you next time he goes to kick you and you kick him back or confront him, he's going to eventually, this guy's not worth it because he fights back. Or go find somebody else who doesn't. And at least it draws enough attention to where if people get involved because if you're calling names back or rhyming names back, self-defense, chances are teachers are going to hear it. You might be the one to get in trouble, but every time he goes to do you, eventually it's going to come back on him. So I think I always thought, at least that's how it worked when I was growing up. And I think you always do better when you fight the good fight opposed to just laying down. I think more it just sets a precedent to when's the time to start fighting. When you keep laying down, it carries over in other aspects of your life.
Yeah, I completely agree. We're speaking with Tyrus, on Fox News contributor. You can check him out at foxnation.com. Subscribe there. Tyrus, do you think that when we're teaching our kids how to defend themselves or to stick up for themselves, which, you know, doesn't have to involve physical behavior as much as it maybe does words telling people to stop or telling people that you don't like it or kind of putting a kid back in their place when they're kids. We see the president tweeting right now about Mike Bloomberg and that he's 5'4 and that he's little and stuff. I mean, little Marco, that was a thing. He is an equal opportunity insulter. He does it across the board. He doesn't leave anybody out. He's probably the most equal opportunity in the way that he chooses to go after people who he perceives as enemies. Do you think I've been asked this before? How can I have young children and look at the president of the United States and tell my kids that this is a good man? So when you're parenting and you're talking about bullies and you see a president who is, in some people's opinion, bullying other people, is it separate? Is it a different issue?
No, and I think that's when you say, like, that's not the way we would do things, son. Yeah, our president is a bully. We don't like that about him. And we would prefer him not to do that. And when people fight back, you say, see, these guys didn't take it from the president of the United States, bullied somebody and they fought back. I think you got to use that message.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to call it for what it is. You don't say, well, because he's a Republican and I support him, it's okay. He's a bully. And I don't think it's a big argument or stretch to say that President Trump's a bully. And just because he's the president of the United States doesn't mean he's perfect. And doesn't. So when he does bully and your kids see it, you'd be like, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way we do it in our household.
Yeah.
So when you're president, you can bully people, but until then, you'll follow the rules of my household. And I think that's
people.
Fair.
That's what you take away from this. You want to treat people like that? Become the president of the United States. I would say,
become
too.
Become the president, you bully whoever you want to. Until then, you'll follow the rules of my house.
Yeah.
In my house, we don't bully.
The autonomy of your message, too, is important. Like, I don't blindly lead. My kids are not looking to anybody who's in public office as to how they're supposed to behave or act. Like, that's my job. I'm their mama, and that is my job to instill in them morals, values, character, and for me to check them every time they get out of line on that. And I mean, the president, like, you could look at Hollywood for sure and point out a bunch of examples, or athletics. Like, these people are humans making human decisions. It's still our job to raise our kids.
Yeah, it's 100% is, and it doesn't matter whether it's president or, well, Drake doesn't do it. Well, Drake doesn't live in my house. So, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Not difficult.
Well, I want to encourage people to go subscribe on FoxNation.com so you can check out Nuff Said. That's Tyrus's show there. And also, we will catch you on the Big Fox. Anytime you sit in, we always stop and check out and see what you're talking about. So, always a grateful opportunity to have you here on our show with us on Thursdays.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Talk to you again soon. Tyrus on Twitter at Planet Tyrus. If you don't mind giving him a thank you for coming on with us here as well. You know, it's weird because I've had people ask me that question about, you know, your president is bullying people on Twitter. Like, how as a mom can you support Donald Trump when he's bullying people on Twitter? So the logical response in my head is that Donald Trump is not starting these fights. Some of them he does. Some of them he picks on his own. But he is the guy who will not stand down when he's been picked on so many times. I mean, he's like a beat dog, and he's going to bark and bite at anybody who comes at him. Because look at what's going on right now. I know he's weighing in on the Roger Stone sentencing, and he's doing it on Twitter. It's not like he was, like, privately bullying William Barr in a back room and is like, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your job or whatever. He tweeted it. And from what I understand, the timeline of when Barr filed the amendment to the sentencing guidelines on Roger Stone, I believe that it was filed before President Trump tweeted anything. But regardless, the idea of associating how the president behaves with how my kids are being raised is taking me out of the equation. It's my job. It's my husband's job. And there are numerous examples of people who happen to have a bigger presence in society. They are behind cameras. They're behind microphones. They are out there living their lives in a big, popular way. And they're making bad decisions. Some people get the opportunity to have second chances. Some people have the opportunity to have a public redemption story. A lot of people don't. It's still on me to set those values and those morals for my children in conjunction with my husband to make sure that any type of example that is presented in front of us, if there's a teaching opportunity here, if my son were to see that the president was saying that Mike Bloomberg is 5'4 and he's little and, what did you say, a mass of dead energy or something like that?
Yes.
Like, I
and he needs a box. That's the
but he shouldn't
thing.
Have a box.
Yes, yeah.
He's not allowed to have a box.
That's what it is.
Is it ridiculous? It's really ridiculous.
You know, we always say there's a big difference between liking Trump the person versus liking Trump the policymaker. You have to take both. You can't take one and leave the other. He's
cannot
one person.
Parse.
But when it comes to the whole, like, bully idea in his policymaking, I wouldn't call it bullying, but he does use leverage in a way that previous presidents didn't. that I really like when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to him trying to get NATO members to pay their fair share and using our military clout and economic clout to make things happen. He gets that. And you could call that foreign policy bullying. But,
but he gets it done.
But he gets it done, and I'm glad that he does.
Mini Mike is 5'4 mass of dead energy who does not want to be on the debate stage with these professional politicians. No boxes, please. He hates crazy Bernie and will, with enough money, possibly stop him. Bernie's people will go nuts. That's an insult on so many different levels to so many people.
No box, please.
Yeah. No boxes, please. But I have to say, too, like, do you want a man like this to be the president of the United States? I didn't want a woman like Hillary to be the president of the United States. Why does nobody ever talk about that? Because she lost, number one. But when you challenge people on their decision to support this president, like, show me the alternatives, please. Because his policies are kicking tail right now. And I'm totally okay with it. And this is exactly the right song. Exactly the reason.
Oh, what is it? I can't even hear it yet.
This is the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, there we go.
Seven Nations Army. You gotta wait for the chorus where you really get the benefit of the Oak Ridge Boys here. I love it. All right, let's take some phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. The Oak Ridge Boys first, and then a little bit of a potty break for everybody, and then we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you're related to Trump or you're a friend of Trump, go out and rob a bank because he's got you covered right now.
Yeah.
Go out, commit a crime.
Sure.
Nothing matters anymore.
Sure.
You know?
I don't know if that's legit.
I don't think that's true.
Man, these people just utterly despise Donald Trump.
They do.
Like, they wake up thinking about it in the morning and they go to bed angry about it.
They act like there's never been such a thing as a presidential pardon. And they act like Roger Stone's going to get one.
Why doesn't Trump just pardon him? He should just pardon him.
It doesn't sound like he's going to.
He should.
You think?
It would.
I mean, that's what they're assuming he's going
to do. Bring an end to this.
Yeah.
It would stop the madness.
It's really for me.
Yeah. Yes.
See, I don't want to talk about Roger Stone. Roger Stone is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
He's weird. I watched the Netflix special, like, maybe in 2017, Get Me Roger Stone, about Roger. I think it was a Roger Stone-produced documentary, and it was about the importance of Roger Stone.
Great.
And
did Roger Stone come off looking pretty good in it?
I don't think he looks pretty good.
He looked like a Batman villain. That's what he reminds me of.
No, I can see that. I see where you're headed with that. I mean, Roger Stone is slimy. But he is not opposed to people. It's not something he's trying to hide. It's not like he's trying to put on this front that he's this upstanding, like, take the high road political player. He is paving the low road.
And enjoying it.
And you know that he has a huge tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back?
Oh, wow.
As much Roger Stone trivia as I knew, I didn't know that.
Roger Stone tattoo. Yeah.
I would like to see a list of people in general who have Richard Nixon tattoos on their back. Why would you get a picture
it's his
of
head.
Anybody, especially Richard Nixon,
well, you
on your back?
You have to watch.
Man.
I've got a tattoo of Richard Little on my back.
That's dead center in the middle of his
middle.
He's the guy who always impersonated Richard Nixon.
Oh.
Sorry. It was a little bit before your time. Before my time, too, though.
My time is 5 minutes before your time, for the record, old man.
Why did I know that? Because I watched The Muppets. That's why.
You know a lot of very obscure, useless things. It's part of the problem here.
There are people 10 years older than us that laughed at that joke.
Are they? Let me know all three of their names.
That's a good... Yeah, I don't know if that they did. They should have. Doggone it.
Here, listen to this. This is in my YouTube perusing last night. This is after the president won in 2016. This is a package CNN put together. And it's like the global reaction to Donald Trump winning.
Shock, jubilation, and tears. This is how the world reacted to Donald Trump becoming the new U.S. president. People across Asia were the first to digest the news, where it was met with a mixed message.
Trump's victory may cause harm to Pakistan. He has given live statements that he is anti-Islam, anti-Muslim.
I'm not happy about Trump. I don't like him. I wanted to see a woman become president.
In Russia, meanwhile, his win is being applauded in the corridors of power,
the only people they could find that were happy were in Russia.
I think perhaps Trump is better than Hillary. Why? I think his attitude towards Russia is more loyal than Hillary's.
I think relations will be more pragmatic. Less ideology, more economy.
In Europe, it may be a tad too early to talk Trump policy. The continent, it seems, is still numb over the shock result.
Oh nein, wie schrecklich!
That is horrible, really. Donald Trump won. That is horrible.
It's horrible.
I got goosebumps.
She just found out.
That is so bad.
When the interviewer told her.
Who? Orange Man bad.
Hate him.
Russia just liked him because they thought he was going to go crazy and blow the country up.
Don't you? Isn't it ridiculous to hear that CNN package? And everybody is like in shock and awe over how horrible it is that Trump won, except for the people in Russia. That's CNN putting that together. And that's been since the election. That drumbeat has been steady and louder with each passing day. So when you listen to people react to Donald Trump today and they're neurotic about it, They've been led down this path to be neurotic about it. They've been encouraged over the course of time to think that it is a tragedy. And that was the beginning. It's pretty amazing. I want to get to some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. Rick, thanks for calling the show.
Hello.
Hi, Rick.
You were talking last segment about what people think about Trump.
Uh-huh.
And I think they look at him just like Germans looked at Patton during World War II.
How's that?
He's a really hard-nosed person. He gets the job done, and every so often he'll slap a soldier he shouldn't slap.
Well, you know, that's probably a pretty fair assessment. And I think that people are willing to take all of the good with some of the bad. But I don't see the majority of Trump supporters, like, saying that the bad stuff is okay. I mean, they're still not okay with it, but they're taking it on a case-by-case basis.
Well, you look at people, I don't know. I've had people that are almost geniuses worked around me, but they have no common sense, and that's kind of like what Trump does. But the point is, he's getting it done.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a president. I'm 64. I've never seen a president has done as much. If you go back in the ages when they're running, he's done almost everything he said he was going to do in the first 4 years.
You're right, Rick. Thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. I don't feel like the Trump support is... There are people who are in lockstep who think that he can do no wrong, but I don't think that that's the normal person, just like I don't think the normal Democrat out there really wants to vote for a socialist. I think that there's a lot more normal out there that is very accessible to all of us because we are the normal, that we can choose to pay attention to it, we can choose to look for it, or we can choose not to look for it. The amount of moderation, not in where you are in the political political spectrum. I'm not talking about being like just right of center or left of center. I'm talking about your fanaticism for politics. Most people are very moderate, or moderate to apathetic mm-hmm. about this. I guess in our industry, we talk about it a lot. I think it's important to talk about. You're here with us, and we value that you are here with us. We know that you want to know the news. But, you know, it's not like we get done here and go try to burn down buildings because the sky is on fire.
I saw an article the other day that was about, it was obviously a hostile article of CNN or MSNBC, looking for promises he made in 2015 and 16 that he hadn't kept. Pushing back against the narrative that he's kept all of his promises, because for the most part, he has, at least what's in his control. They were only able to find, and this whole article was about two of them. One of them was that Mexico was going to pay for the wall,
mm-hmm.
which You can't really argue that they directly paid for it, but he did renegotiate with USMCA with them to make the United States more money, which is how he defends that, which I think is sort of fair, but they didn't directly pay for it. The other one was that he would balance the budget or get us out of debt within 8 years, which doesn't look likely, but
there's still time.
There's still time.
Much to their chagrin.
But that, my point is, that's it. You know, that's the only things that this whole article could find that he promised. And the wall thing, I mean, that's stuff that he has faced opposition at every turn and is still trying to get done.
Yeah, for sure. He has been very committed to it. Real quick before we go to break here, Charles, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I thought maybe you were joking for a few minutes there. He's been horrendous. He's a scourge the way he acts as a human being. This has nothing to do with politics. As a human, he's despicable, as far as I'm concerned. And he has, and you guys talk about what he's accomplished. Where's the health care, he said? Where's the cheaper pharmacy? Well, you know, what about, he said his Social Security was safe, Medicare, Medicaid. He wants, it's got huge cuts in his budget before the election. How can you guys sit there and say that he's done everything he said he's going to do?
Well, we just listed off a bunch of things, Charles, that he has said that he's going to do and that he has done. And he did say he'd need 8 years. So I guess there's nothing better than giving him the 8 years that he needs to get all the stuff done.
He's also addressing the pharmacy stuff right now.
Yes. I mean,
that's literally happening as we're talking.
A lot of this stuff, most of this stuff, as it should be, requires the Congress to be willing to participate in these conversations. And there's probably a compromise that exists. I can't think of another Republican president in my lifetime, Democrat either, that would be more willing to compromise than Donald Trump. He likes to make deals, and he doesn't care if the guy on the other side has something to champion, some sort of victory to champion, as long as he gets what he wants. He's not opposed to doing that. I thought going into this that I was worried that he was going to compromise too much. But the Democrats don't even come to the table now. They just got done trying to impeach the president. Lord knows they're going to do it again. And now their biggest stump is that they want to impeach William Barr. They don't want to. Democrats don't want to even have discussions about this stuff. And if you want to challenge me on that, Charles, which he's not on the line anymore. But if you want to challenge me on the ability of Congress to come together and have a grown up conversation about getting policies done and passed and signed that would benefit the American people. All I'm going to do is say USMCA, sir, because the USMCA was sitting in Nancy Pelosi's desk for an inordinate amount of time, but she was too busy impeaching the president of the United States. She ended up having to be so heavily politically pressured into getting this done and moved along so that the president could sign it, a deal that he got done that would not have gotten done had Hillary Clinton been the president of the United States. It was a promise that he made. He met his promise, and it got held up in the political drudges of the Democratic Party in control in the House, and Nancy Pelosi held on to it till she had no other option but to do something on it. And then you heard massive bipartisan support for it. So if we want to talk about these things that need to get done, Lord knows, Charles, I know that you don't want this president to be able to fix these things on his own. We are watching today as the Senate is voting on holding back some powers that the president has in order to, you know, engage in acts of war. And we haven't talked about that in full yet. But there are a large amount of people that need to come together to make something like all that you were talking about there happen. And no Democrat has been willing to work with this president, not even once so far in his administration. I hope that changes after this election, and I hope it changes when the Democrats are in the minority so we can actually get some stuff done. We got to go because when we come back, Jessica Ditto, who's the Deputy Assistant to the President of the United States, also Deputy Director of White House Communications, is going to talk to us about all the things this administration has accomplished for women. And I'm particularly interested in this because I am, in fact, a woman. And this would be a woman's issue, wouldn't you say? I think Trump and the Republicans are the party of women's issues now.
Anything you talk about is a women's issue.
No, let's have fun with that in the 2 o'clock hour. Jessica Ditto with the White House when we come back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you on this Thursday, this very cold and frigid and sometimes snowy Thursday. We are making it through together. Excited to get to our next guest here. It's Jessica Ditto, the Deputy Assistant to the President and Deputy Director of White House Communications, on to talk to us about a very important issue, certainly near and dear to my heart, the Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative. Jessica, a real pleasure to have you on the show with us today.
Hi, Annie. Great to be back on. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we are a year after the president has established this initiative, and yes. Ivanka Trump just recognized for her efforts in this realm. I was just saying before we went to a break, when you look at the list of accomplishments that this administration has had for women in this country, you'd almost say that the Republicans and Donald Trump have become the party of women's issues, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is something where the president has taken unprecedented steps to lead the nation in helping to do things that our government has never done in terms of women's empowerment. But additionally, he's been the first Republican to call for policies such as national paid leave and making sure that we're no longer the only modern global economy that doesn't offer that kind of plan for workers who are adopting or having children while working. So it's something that the president has been a long advocate for working families and particularly women. And we're seeing the results through women participation rates in the workforce and the ways in which, particularly with our international effort through WGDP, unprecedented success so far. So happy to talk to you and your listeners about that. Yesterday, the one-year anniversary was marked at the State Department with Secretary of State Pompeo, Ivanka, and a number of administration officials. And so we wanted to highlight, one, just the results from the first year. And announced that in the first year, 12 million women were economically empowered and supported through the WGDP initiative in its first year. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to reach 50 million women by 2025. And then the other thing that was announced, Senators Graham and Shaheen announced the introduction of legislation to codify this initiative into law and show that there is bipartisan, bicameral support for this type of initiative in which women are the focus of our development assistance around the world. And it's just really incredible to see the way in which this program has been embraced and widely well received, because it is so important to our national security and economic security that women are no longer discriminated against in the workplace.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. We're speaking with Jessica Ditto, Deputy Assistant to the President, also Deputy Director of the White House Communications Team. I want to ask you about from pretty much day one, I think it was at the Republican convention, after the president, then candidate Donald Trump, got the nomination. Ivanka Trump took the stage. She talked about some of these issues then. It was a promise that mm-hmm. was made. She has certainly kept that promise. But there was some criticism among conservative groups that the idea of paid family leave, that wasn't the business of the United States government to get involved. That should be solved in the private sector. But we have seen a dedication to this issue from this administration. Why is right. it that Ivanka and the Trump administration has determined that this is definitely something that needs to have the United States government looking at it and providing for the women who are in the workplace? I myself, 35 years old, have had three kids, have had the benefit of an employer who has provided leave for me.
Right.
But that's not the case for everybody.
Exactly. And that's something in this modern economy, in order for families to be able to really bond with their newborn and their adopted child, and to also ensure that the mother gets the proper amount of rest and ability to just be with the family unit immediately after birth, that's so important. And that is a conservative value and ideal in keeping the families close-knit and together. But they shouldn't sacrifice work opportunities and their paycheck in order to do so. So we want to encourage businesses to come up with a plan, small and large businesses, what is reasonable. And through our tax reform efforts, Ivanka was able to push for the first ever paid leave tax credit so that businesses are incentivized to offer paid leave and given the credits for offering that to employees. So it's not something that would create a burden for small businesses or of any shape, but it is something that the country can lead on and set as a model. And so as the nation's largest employer, Ivanka and the president felt very strongly that we must lead by example. If we're calling on the private sector to offer paid leave, then we need to do so at the federal level as well. And that was announced through the NDAA in December. For the first time ever, we're offering a paid leave plan to federal workers. And the appreciation coming out from all across the government has been really moving. We had women who work in DOD and at the Pentagon saying they had barely recovered from childbirth and were back in the office, and that this is such an amazing gift to be able to further their career, but also, more importantly, foster their young family and get the rest and ability to be with at home in those early weeks. So that's the motivating factor. It's really important to the modern working family that we do take care of those types of needs, and also through affordable child care. Those are priorities that Ivanka's office has championed, and we're seeing tremendous results in making sure that those benefits are available to low to middle income families.
We're speaking with Jessica Ditto with the White House. I want to ask you, I mean, Ivanka has certainly been the champion of these issues. We definitely hear from the Democrats, whether they're, you know, currently elected or they're running for potentially a challenge to Donald Trump, this idea that, like, women understand women's issues better than men. And I always want to advocate for men who want to stand up for these issues, too, and see the value in it, that, you know, the president who is in the White House is helping direct these policy procedures. What is his role in supporting Ivanka, or specifically supporting this modern idea of these particular women's issues as a man who is in charge of the entire country? Is it is it Ivanka's to handle, or is it really an institution of Donald Trump in the Oval Office to make these things happen?
It's the president's priority, and he was the first Republican to call for it on the campaign trail, and he has mentioned it in his every single State of the Union address that paid leave is a priority. We are the only global modern economy in the world that doesn't have some sort of national paid leave plan, and we also he's also made sure that's a focus in the budget. But there's a lot of leaders, men and women, who are championing this now. We saw Rubio and Senator Cassidy introduce legislation and work with women legislators. This is a family matter. It's not just for women. It will foster a stronger family unit to ensure that the working parent is able to be home with their newborn. And it's something that we want to make sure is reflected in the values of our workforce in the era where people can work from home. There's more flexibility and mobility, but we're pushing for equal pay among women and men, and also making sure that affordable child care is accessible everywhere. These are things that will ensure that our workforce remains strong in this booming economy, and that's what the president's very much focused on. And Ivanka has particularly championed this as a woman entrepreneur, as a working mother, as someone who has been on the business side of things and understands how important it is to provide those types of benefits to her employees.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I want to thank you for your time today. We know it's precious, and we look forward to seeing how much more can be accomplished while this administration is at the reins. Very, very grateful for your time today, Jessica.
Thank you for having me on. We appreciate it.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Jessica Ditto there with the White House on that women's initiative through the Trump administration. We'll be back with your phone calls. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.